The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
Hey, joining us now is Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. Hey, Rachel, how are you?
I'm great, and I want y'all to know that I make great fried green tomatoes.
Okay, oh, thank you.
Wow. That is legit,
now,
Rachel.
What part of America do you hail in? Do you live in Chattanooga?
Chattanooga, right.
Okay, that's fried green tomato country there.
Absolutely.
Karen, I would like to take your word for those fried green tomatoes, but I would have to sample them, you know.
Right. Well, you're welcome anytime.
Okay, very good, very good. Karen, so first of all, what made you interested in the canine, the dogs during the Korean War and other service dogs that you'd write a book about it?
Well, I have a longstanding interest in military history. I had been taking some oral histories from veterans, and I had come across a story from a veteran who served in World War II, and he had served with a dog. And it got me really thinking about the role that dogs play in soldiers' lives, especially in wartime. And so I started researching, and that's when I came across a little blurb about these men in a small Colorado newspaper. I reached out to them, I found them, and I found their story to be absolutely incredible.
So how did it differ in the Korean War, the use of dogs? Because, I mean, I think dogs have been used in most wars, even on some limited scale, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The difference was that the Korean War has the name the Unforgotten or the Forgotten War for a reason, and that's because so little is known about it. And the same applies to the role of dogs in that war. Very little has been written about the history of dogs in the Korean War.
One of the things is talking about the Korean War. I think the reason it's forgotten is America wasn't ready to be at war again. We came off World War II. The country sacrificed greatly for four whatever years. We get through the end of the 1940s, roll into the 50s, and we're like, okay, all right, America's growing. Johnny came marching home. We're back to work. The country's doing great. People are buying homes and cars. They just didn't want to know about war, and we didn't have television to the point where you were seeing it in our homes every night like the Vietnam War. So everyone kind of looked the other way.
Absolutely. And that was the experience of these men when they returned home. There were no ticker tape parades. There was no fanfare. There was no real acknowledgement of what they had done. Worse still for them was that the military ended up abandoning these dogs that they had served with so proudly, so bravely. They were heartbroken about that, and the world just didn't seem to care.
So what jobs did the dogs do during the Korean War? Traditional duties that we would expect?
Well, these dogs in particular were sentry dogs. There had been a small, six dogs, I believe, a small group of scout dogs before them. But this unit brought close to 200 dogs with them, and they were on a sentry detail. So their job was to guard ammunition storage facilities and to guard the perimeter of the posts where the soldiers were.
What became of them?
What became of the dogs?
Yes.
Well, it's hard to say absolutely with certainty, but we do know that the Department of the Army abandoned the dogs as the men left.
So they just, did they just leave them there, you mean?
Yes.
That's incredible. I guess they abandoned equipment at times, and I guess they viewed them as equipment at that point. It just seems shocking now, knowing how much value soldiers that develop a bond with dogs, especially coming home from war with post-traumatic stress and different things, why you wouldn't just say, hey, you want to take the dog home with you? Why wouldn't you at least do that?
Absolutely. I mean, they spent the rest of their lives wondering why that happened and looking for answers. They found, as they started to have annual reunions about 50 years after their time in Korea, they found some comfort in each other, and that they understood one another, and they understood the heartache that they had been living with for all those years. But they've never gotten any really clear answers on what happened to the dogs. I talk about it a little bit in the book. I surmise some of the dogs may have gone to the Republic of Korea Army, but it's not likely that a large number of them went. So most of them were abandoned, as the program itself was abandoned shortly after.
I'm fascinated by the programs you talk about in your book. And by the way, we're talking about Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. I'm fascinated by military history, especially the espionage and the programs that were established where, especially during World War II, where people saying, okay, we've got to win this war. We need to come up with anything. So any harebrained scheme, they're like, we'll work on this tech. We'll have a special program that'll do this. That, you know, okay, listen, put Pete in charge of that. Come up with an idea for this. So there were all of these programs. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of programs. Some of them ended up being utilized, some not, some successful. But even with the dogs during the World War II era, where there was a special program during World War II to say, how can we utilize dogs as part of the war effort?
Right. And that was created by civilians and dogs, the Dogs for Defense program. And so all the dogs during World War II were donated to the war effort. It was an incredibly successful program.
Was that via the American Kennel Club?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. And some other power players in kind of the dog world, dog community. And of course, the Roosevelts themselves were huge dog lovers, and were 100% behind that. So
you have all these people with expertise. In this case, you have people that are close with dogs, know about dogs, maybe associated with the American Kennel Club, that said, hey, I believe dogs could play an effort in winning the war. So they read the right people, they set up the program, and that's just another one of those. I love how that stuff comes together. Even on the other side, Rachel, in World War II, Hitler threw everything at the wall. The guy was involved in the occult. I mean, he was, again, doing everything he could to get an advantage, an angle, you know, a leg up. I'm fascinated by that.
Yes, me too. And it was amazing the success that the dog program had during World War II. And so that's why they tried to carry it through to Korea. But again, as with many things during the Korean War, it was sort of half-hearted and not fully thought out.
Really interesting story. Rachel, thanks so much for sharing. I'm going to tweet out a link to your book and your information, and hopefully people pick up a copy and read it, okay?
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.